Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
What's up? Welcome in on this Thursday night, 3 days in a row for the live stream. Appreciate those of you that were here last night after the basketball game. I was actually surprised at the number of people that were there for us when we fired up the live stream at approaching 11 o'clock last night. So for those of you that were there, I'm very thankful and glad that you were. But today we're talking a little bit about Ole Miss football, and more in particular, something that I've been thinking about a lot today over the last couple of days as Senior Bowl practice, or excuse me, not Senior Bowl practices. The Senior Bowl. What am I thinking? Should I just restart, just kind of like stop the stream and start over so I can actually learn how to talk as somebody that gets paid to talk daily on the radio? As the Senior Bowl practices have been going on, something that I have paid close attention to is Jackson Dart, obviously. And he has had one heck of a week. And him having the week that he has had has kind of reminded me that there is a lot of expectations and hype and maybe pressure on Austin Simmons. And I want to put some of that in perspective tonight. So that's what we're talking about. That's the lead anyway, is talking quarterbacks with Ole Miss. And Ole Miss, like, Austin Simmons is the next QB1 at Ole Miss, and I think fans need to give him some grace and patience as he grows as a quarterback. And I don't know if everybody is giving him that. So we'll talk about that. Read your comments and more on this edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. That was the worst introduction of all time. Fumbled all over my words. Didn't make any sense. But we're here. We're live. And so we're just going to keep rolling with it. This is the problem with not recording things. But that's okay. I think you guys get what I'm talking about. I am glad you're here nonetheless. This is the Rebel Report. Please subscribe. It's usually better out of the gate than that. So please subscribe. Like the video, leave a comment. I would love to hear what you have to say. And wherever you get your podcast, search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. And this edition and every edition of the Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm. He's in Fulton, but he can take care of you anywhere in Mississippi. If you've been personally injured, don't waste another second. Wake up tomorrow. Give DJ Gregory a call at 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799 for personal injury. Also, small business. If you're a small business owner, you need some legal advice, you don't, something happened, you don't know where to go or what to do, or you want to start a small business and you don't want to make a mistake from a legal perspective, 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799. So I was watching Nick Underhill and Mike Triplett talk from a Saints perspective. They cover the Saints. They're the best at it. They're there covering the Senior Bowl, obviously. The Saints pick at 9, and also they're actively in a head coaching search. So them being at the Senior Bowl has, like, it helps them in two different ways. They get to look at guys that the Saints are possibly going to pick, and also they get to talk to people about the coaching search. So they've had really good coverage there. But they have, each day that they have done like a recap video, they have mentioned Jackson Dart. And is he a possibility at 9? Maybe that's a little too early for him. But Triplett in particular said there's some buzz about Dart that going into the Senior Bowl, it was, you know, can he rise into the first round? And now there's even conversation of can he rise into the top 10? He's having that good of a week at the Senior Bowl, and some other guys around him maybe haven't performed that well next to him, so that makes him stand out even more. But Jackson's had a really good week in Mobile. And now that they're going to get past this and they're going to do the interviews and they're going to have pro days and stuff like that, he's going to continue to rise. And that's a great thing, obviously, for Ole Miss, and it's a great thing for Jackson, and that's all good, right? But what I think is getting lost in this is how hard it is and how rare it is to have a quarterback like Jackson Dart in your program. A 3-year starter winning 25 games in 3 years, broke all the passing records and all of those things. He had an outstanding career at Ole Miss, and just not missing a beat at the position is an unrealistic expectation. Does that happen? Absolutely, it can happen. But I do think that Jackson performing the way he is and getting the hype that the way he is should serve as a reminder that he is an exceptionally good quarterback. Is he perfect or flawless? Absolutely not. Neither one of those things. But he is an exceptionally good quarterback that, again, won 29 games in 3 years at Ole Miss as a starter. As a four-year, got starts in 4 years at the Power Four level. And there are some number of Ole Miss fans, and I hear from them, like we get texts in the radio show about it and stuff like that, that are mistaking Austin Simmons' ceiling with what he will be immediately in 2025. Not everybody. I'm sure most of you don't think like that, and most of you have the appropriate perspective, but I've seen too much of Ole Miss has upgraded a quarterback, or Ole Miss will not miss a beat at quarterback. They might even be better in 2025 at the position. They could be better offensively because I like a lot of the pieces that they've assembled in the transfer portal or have returning, right? I like Daquan Wright a lot, for example. I like their wide receiver group a lot. So there's a chance that they're good offensively. And you would hope that the running back position is not a total disaster the way it was managed anyway in 2024. But I believe everything that everybody has heard about his potential, his talent, his ceiling. He has got an incredibly high ceiling. When he has played, you've seen it. Everybody points to the one drive against Georgia, but in the other little bits of action that you've seen from him, he throws an effortless football. He is obviously very smart, has taken into that leadership role already, has taken the recruiting upon himself. Like, everybody around that program clearly loves him and expects big things out of him. And you don't need any further evidence besides Lane Kiffin not even really going after any portal quarterback to compete with him. They didn't even bother trying because this is Austin Simmons' job and they believe in him. They absolutely believe in him. But what I think is happening when some number of people, again, I don't know how many, but I've seen this a lot lately, and so I hope it's not kind of spreading too far to where it's unmanageable. There are too many people that think that because he is uber talented, because Lane Kiffin like didn't bother trying to find a competitor with him, that he is going to be a complete product right away. And I see that. I mean, I hear it from audience members of the radio show. I see it online. To expect Austin Simmons to immediately be what Jackson Dart was at the end of his career and immediately be like Heisman contending, like elite right away, I think is ultimately unfair to Austin Simmons. And I think Ole Miss fans, however many there are, need to really understand and be patient with the young quarterback as he grows and gets better, you would hope gets better, and becomes great. Matt Corral was not great immediately at Ole Miss. He had to grow into that. He got better, obviously got better, but it took him a while to get there. Jackson Dart 2022 was not Jackson Dart 2024. It took him a while to get better. That is the most common phenomenon at the position across college football. Look at Nico at Tennessee, uber talented. Everybody loved, like tall, athletic. He's got all the traits, but it wasn't perfect right away. And I think he fell victim to overhype. You look at the way people around, and I know Tennessee went to the playoff, but it wasn't because of quarterback play. I think he in part fell victim to hype as well. Austin Simmons, I believe in myself, for whatever it's worth to you, which is next to nothing, but I believe in him myself. But I believe that people are getting carried away with the hype and expectations of him right away in year one. And if he does take time to grow, if it's not perfect right away, if they go to Lexington and win the game, but he's 17 of 35 for 190 yards and two touchdowns and a pick, that's okay. But when some people get caught up in the hype of Ole Miss might even be better at quarterback in 2025 and he's not there yet, it's going to be what's wrong with him and not, wait, did we levy unrealistic expectations upon him? He's a young quarterback. He's going to take time to grow. I think that everybody needs to understand that he can be the replacement and the heir apparent in an elite level player while also taking time to get there. And I've just seen too much lately of people saying things like, Ole Miss will be even better at quarterback in 25. When you've got a guy that's about to be a first-round pick that is shining at the Senior Bowl, that won as many games as Jackson Dart did, expecting his very young replacement to become that guy right away or be better than that guy right away is unrealistic and unfair, and it sets him up for failure because it is far more likely that there are growing pains as he's getting better than there is elite quarterback play right away. Do I think that he will become that? I do, frankly. Everything you hear about him is awesome, but I don't see enough people stressing patience with the young quarterback. So there's something that I've been thinking about a lot today. The podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. And I, as I tell you guys all the time already, I mean, they've only been with us for a week, but I'm so excited to partner with Toyota of Brookhaven in part because they're giving you free money. $1,000 on me on a new Toyota in stock at Toyota of Brookhaven. $1,000 on me. Just use the code Rebel Report if you shop online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com, or if you go in person off exit 40 in Brookhaven, if you tell them I sent you, $1,000, boom, just off a new Toyota at Toyota of Brookhaven. They've got interest rates as low as 1.99% for 48 months on all in-stock Tundras, a great-looking truck, by the way. So check them out. They've got a service department, the highest-rated service department in Southwest Mississippi. Bring any maker model to their service department, and they will take care of you. So you don't need to have purchased a Toyota from Toyota Brookhaven for them to take care of you in their service department. So great rates, $1,000 on me. Also a great service department as well. Off exit 40 in Brookhaven or online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. I'm struggling tonight. So we'll let you guys save me on this one, and we will get to talking in the comments. People saying he's already better than Dart or Goofy? Yeah, already late? I was not late. I hit live at 8:00. Do you know who won't be late? The Ole Miss students on Saturday. So there's been a lot of great pavilion environments so far. I mean, I'm thinking all the way back to like the year that it opened. Steph Moody put on a show in the pavilion against Alabama, and that was an incredible environment. It was a loss, but the Ole Miss-Tennessee game where Kermit Davis threw his jacket on the floor, there's been great ones, a lot of great ones. Saturday should be the best pavilion environment so far. It should be. Every seat will be full. It is at 1 o'clock. That's the only thing. You don't have a day of drinking for the students, but it's the best team in college basketball who has won a bunch of road games, but they have just barely scraped by in these road wins, has Auburn. They're going to slip up eventually. Might as well be you, right? I cannot wait to see what that place looks like on Saturday afternoon. What's the difference between Ole Miss and Oregon? I understand Nike and all that, but why is Oregon looked at differently than Ole Miss when neither have national titles? Why is that fair? Oregon has made the playoffs more than once. Colin, I think it's really that simple. And now, of course, there's like Nike branding stuff too that have people that have paid attention, but Oregon has gotten there. And Ole Miss has not gotten there yet. That, to me, is the biggest difference between the two. They haven't won anything yet, but they've gotten there. Only got one concern about Simmons. Can he run when he has to? We'll find out. He looks athletic enough, for sure. See, I feel like Jackson doesn't get as much credit as he should if you look at how limited the offense was, mainly in SEC play. Terrible offensive line, no run game. Trey Harris hurt for most of the season. Yeah, man. I mean, Trey Harris hurt. Caden Priestcorn hurt. I know Wright ended up having a great season, but Priestcorn hurt. Offensive line was banged up and awful. The running back room, I mean, no running game really to speak of. Even Jordan Watkins played banged up at times a little bit as well. Juice Wells, I think, was being used incorrectly, but also incredibly unreliable as well. And as you mentioned it, key drops and moments for some guys, cough, Florida game. Exactly. I mean, history is going to, I think, look really kind on Jackson Dart at Ole Miss, especially if he gets picked in the first round, like now most everybody thinks he's going to be. Do you think recruiting will ever be top 10? There's a real chance with the way they've started the 2026 class that they get there. I mean, they were close this past year. If they didn't get that flip at the last minute and you don't have the Mississippi State player held hostage, I mean, they're approaching a top 10 already this past year. Simmons will be fine. I think he will go down as the best quarterback to ever play at Ole Miss. That's kind of what I'm talking about. Kind of. I've seen it more like intense than that, but he has not played enough football yet to have those kind of expectations on him. And I mean, guys, there's a real chance that 2025, he struggles at times, and the offense struggles at times because he has not played a whole lot of football. Now, he looks phenomenal. Everybody around there talks about how great they think he's going to be, but 2022, Dart was a pretty good starter for a guy playing in his first real meaningful season, not a backup under an interim USC coach. That team was not great at wide receiver, but elite at running back. I'm telling you guys, this is awful for me. And he also ran well. Yeah. Fred Milroe looks bad at the Senior Bowl. Apparently, he has not helped cool the accuracy questions really at all. And, you know, all it takes is one team to fall in love with a guy. And maybe there is a team that does and thinks that he's the next Jalen Hurts, but Jalen Hurts is infinitely more talented at passing the football than Milroe is. And so, no, he did not do himself any favors at all this week, it seems. We know about the talent and him being able to sit for 2 years and did nothing but help him. If they can get him to limit mistakes and play within the offense, they can win a lot of games. I think they can win a lot of games as well. I do. What happened to your eye? I have acne. My face has been breaking out lately. I'm trying to control it. I know it's unsightly. Look, it's happening over there too. You see, it's not fun, especially as a 32-year-old father. But I have been breaking out lately. A lot of stress in my life has caused it to show on my face. You know, it is what it is. It's crazy that the same Alabama fans saying he fits DeBoer's system perfectly before the season are the ones crying, saying that he held him back, which he probably did, but it's the hypocrisy for me. Oh, absolutely. You get that with every fan base, though, every offseason. Nico is not any better at the end of the season than he was when he started. That would be a concern for me, right? There wasn't really any growth. And it's not totally fair to judge a player against a team that was, as we learned, overmatched with Ohio State. But the lights were too bright for him in Columbus that night. They were way too bright for him. Couldn't complete routine passes in Columbus that night. And as a quarterback that went through an SEC schedule, you would hope that by the end of that, you would be more equipped in that environment, but he was not. Those Kentucky and Arkansas games are integral games on Simmons being tested early as a starter. Both of those will be must-win games, and they should be good enough to win those games with Simmons. Man, that test in Lexington in week two is big for so many reasons. And I like that he and this team are going to get thrown into the fire much faster than they did last year. You won't have four walkthroughs the way that they did. I like this better. But is this offseason enough time in one game, enough time to get him ready for that? I'm sure it could be. Again, when I say people should be patient, I'm not saying that he's not going to be good. There's just a chance it's not perfect all the time. And that 2026 Austin Simmons is a hell of a lot better than 2025. But that game will be a big test. Like this wide receiver room a lot. Running back room looks better on paper, but I can't trust it. I agree with both of those. And we know about the offensive line. I worry about his lack of help up front. Wash, rinse, repeat with Ole Miss over the last few years, huh? Talented wide receiver room. Not sure about the offensive line. After the 2022 season, there were people saying Dart wasn't an SEC quarterback, you say. I thought he was top one half of the SEC in 2022. He just wasn't corralled. He was not. I guess I'm the problem, but I believe Austin Simmons is going to be better than Dart next season than Dart was at the end of his career. I'm just delusional. You're not delusional at all because you see the ceiling. And that ceiling for Simmons is so, so, so freaking high. It is unbelievably high. From a raw talent perspective, he's got a higher ceiling than Dart does. From a raw talent perspective, he has a higher ceiling. He's taken, 30 snaps? And I know that drive against Georgia was awesome. I know it was. It was awesome. Not enough, though. Dart was done a disservice at the end of 2022. Yeah, he was. He kind of took the blame for his coach messing around. Making South Carolina watching. Appreciate you, Jeffrey. Glad to see you, man. Saw something about Caleb Cunningham's recruiting ranking getting tanked for some reason. I think we know what the real potential is there. Yeah, why was he a five-star 3 months ago and not now? What changed? Is it because he didn't participate in the All-Star games because he was playing basketball? Did he get suddenly worse at playing football over the last 3 months or last 2 months or whatever? What happened? Did he get worse? Or is it that they moved rankings around for All-Star games and he didn't go because he's playing basketball? Which one is it? So, man, those 8 weeks after the season re-ranks are so stupid to me. I know recruiting rankings, there is a direct correlation between recruiting rankings and success on the field, but they're certainly not an exact science. And then when stuff like that happens, it just kind of makes you wonder, you know? Kind of makes you wonder. Did he get worse? Then why did he drop? Did those other guys just magically get better, or did they show up to your All-Star game? I don't know the answer to that, but, you know, I'm just asking questions, as they say. To my comment above, I'm being honest, but if he doesn't turn out as amazing as I thought, I do realize it'll take time. Not at all going to hate on the kid. He seems very talented, so just eager to see him. And there are very few things more intoxicating as a sports fan than the exciting young quarterback taking over. You know, there really are very few things as a sports fan that are more intoxicating than the exciting young quarterback taking over. So I get it. I'm excited to watch him play. I think he's going to be great with time. And maybe I'm overreacting to, you know, what I've seen from a few people online or texters into the radio show, but I've seen enough of it to where it kind of made me think. And so I brought it to you guys because, you know, we just had a stream last night talking basketball. So, you know, there's not much in the world of Ole Miss sports. So we kind of had to manufacture the topic today, being fully transparent with you. So Bama fans talk about Ty Simpson being the truth. Well, why didn't he get any playing time when Milroe was stinking it up? I'm not buying the hype. Not buying it either. And, you know, what's so interesting, and we've talked about this before, is how many programs in college football, we talked about this, I guess, on Tuesday, but the quarterback position is fascinating because there are so many programs, I should say, across college football that are using are replacing their guy with a guy they already have instead of via portal. Oregon, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Georgia, Alabama, Ole Miss, Texas. All these programs. Miami's the only, the only high profile one that's replacing portal quarterback with portal quarterback. Everybody else is homegrown. It's very interesting. I think you might see some volatility at the position as a result. Some of these guys aren't going to be ready for this moment. Simmons just looked so good on the Georgia drive, so calm and relaxed. It was great to see. Yeah, I mean, that people rave about his mental makeup and how important is that as a quarterback. The podcast is brought to you in part, by the way, by Advantage Business Systems. ABSMS.com is the website. If you're a Mississippi business and you're in need of office technology, anything from copiers and printers and mail machines, cloud storage, data security, IT projects, phone systems, whatever it is, if it's technology, if it's in the office and your Mississippi business needs it, ABSMS.com. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So tell them what you need, what your budget is. They'll find a solution for you on me, Advantage Business Systems. The podcast is also brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every day with their online banking platform. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money. Priority One Bank makes you their priority, and there's 16 locations here. There's one right next to Topgolf, right down the road from me. So, especially with how expensive Topgolf is, I'm having to spend more time at Priority One Bank than I probably want to. But bank with me at Priority One Bank. Wonder if he can run it all. We have not seen what that's like yet, but JD says like a cheetah. He was not given the opportunity to show that yet, but he looks athletic enough, but that arm talent is real. It's no walk in the park to start next year. I'm sure there are no world beaters, but Kentucky, Arkansas, Tulane, and LSU all in a row are no joke. No, that's a difficult stretch. Absolutely. And you know what's crazy is Tulane might be the second best team in that group. They certainly could be. Who do I think the top five quarterbacks in the league are next season? Oh, gosh. Top five quarterbacks in the league. Lagway, Nussmeier, Sellers. I guess Nico, because he played a whole season as a starter, but I think by the end of the season, it won't be that. No, who am I kidding? Diego Pavia, and then I guess Nico. I just, Manning got a couple of starts, but look at who he played against. We haven't seen Manning in legitimate game action. ULM and Mississippi State doesn't count, I'm sorry. I know Miss State's an SEC team, but come on. Not 2-10 Mississippi State. That's not crazy. Simmons obviously hadn't played a whole lot. I think Lagway is going to be my preseason first team All-SEC guy. Can't decide who my number two is going to be. I might just give it to Pavia. Because you can make an argument that Pavia is the second best returning quarterback in the SEC. You can certainly make that argument. I don't know if it's legitimate, but I think you can make it. Look at what he did at Vanderbilt last year. Tell me that anybody else we're talking about could have done that at Vanderbilt. Tell me that Sellers could have done what Pavia did at Vanderbilt. I don't know if I believe that. Sellers is big and athletic. I understand that South Carolina fans love him. I get it, but I don't know. I just don't know. Way too early, over under 8.5. Under by just a half right now. Wonder who will start for State at quarterback, Blake Shapen. We'll have the same running back problem next year. It's possible. It is possible. But if Logan Diggs is healthy, if he's back to his old self, then I think that that's your RB1 in a pretty comfortable one if he's back to his old self. 9-3 is the goal. I think that if you gave Lane Kiffin truth serum, he'd take 9-3 right now. I do. You also like that over-under. Don't think a Kiffin team will regress to 7 wins or worse. I don't. Do I watch SEC Mike and Crane and Company? I don't, but not for any reason other than there's, you know, full-time job, fatherhood, et cetera, et cetera. I only have so much consumption that I can do in a day because, like, I'm also doing what they do, right? So, a lot of people, and like when I'm doing show prep, I'm listening to stuff, mostly Dan Patrick or Pardon My Take or Kill Tony, frankly. But for, you know, the 4 hours that I'm like in the studio, I can't do anything else other than what I'm doing, you know? So there's only just so much consumption I can do. So I don't dislike those guys. I can't. I think they should win at least 8. Anything above that will be a plus. If Simmons can play within himself in the offense, I think Ole Miss will have a quarterback advantage against all 4 non-conferences, Kentucky, Arkansas State, and heck, maybe even Georgia and Oklahoma. People love that Mateer guy at Oklahoma, though. I'll have to see everything else around him before I start crowning him some great savior of Oklahoma football, though. Which I don't know if anybody's actually doing that, but people do love that pickup. Also, having quarterbacks like Sellers and Lagway at home helps. They can be exposed, and Nussmeier likes to turn the ball over. Mm-hmm. If they have another 10-win season next year, you think Kiffin should get a statue built? No, he should have made the playoffs, but man, that is amazing to do at Ole Miss. I mean, if they win 10 games next season, they will make the playoff. A 10-2 SEC team is going to make the playoff. They're going to. It's going to happen. Do I think State will become the Vandy of the SEC? Another down season, and yeah, they're teetering. This is a vital year for Jeff Lebby and Mississippi State, but vital. They have got to win, not like 9 games or whatever, but a turnaround has got to begin this year. I mean, they're having trouble getting people to go to games, stuff like that. I mean, it's teetering. Pavia was very dynamic and physical, made a lot of plays. He's just tough. You know, not the best passer, but he's just got like that edge about him, that like kind of pit bull mentality that maybe a program like Vanderbilt needs, you know? Be worried about short yardage next year too. Oh, now that Pegues is gone, where are they going to turn? Xavier Harris? Thanks for the Pavia love. Sure is helping our season ticket sales. Yeah, resident Vanderbilt fan here. Appreciate you being here, man. But yeah, Pavia is he's my favorite college football player, not here. Am I crazy to be happy for Ryan Day? Seems like he got so much hate. I'm glad he at least gets something to help him rest at night. I don't think you're crazy. I think that the fact that his family had to hire 24/7 armed security at their home because of very specific death threats, him winning a national championship and those people feeling like the losers that they are, I did kind of feel good for him in that regard. It's hard to like anything that Ohio State does, even though I have Ohio State stuff on the wall up there. I think you guys understand. It's hard to be happy when Ohio State does something good, but I did think that his family deserved that. I don't think that they should normalize stuff like that by saying this is part of the job. I think that's crazy talk. And that's just absolute crazy talk to me. But anyway. Any final thoughts on Saturday's game? I mean, I think the way Ole Miss wins this game is if they can make it ugly. If they can slow the game down like they did against Alabama, they have to protect the basketball. But they have to really force turnovers, pressure Auburn, make them run shot clock and just kind of ugly the game up a little bit. I think Ole Miss can beat Auburn in that way if they allow pace and if they have to be dependent on scoring, they're going to get run out of the gym. I think they've got to win this game like they did in Tuscaloosa in the 60s. Turn them over a lot. Slow the game down. Dia has got to show up on Saturday. He has got to show up on Saturday. Auburn does not score as well on the road also. So it's they have to play the best defensive game they've played of the season. But I think that slowing things down, being intentional, not turning the basketball over, making the game go by fast by being slow, if that makes sense, is the key for Ole Miss in this game. Auburn's really, really good, though. It's an ultimate free shot. Hopefully digs for short yardage, something like that. I mean, it's got to be better than it was. I know the Pegues package worked as often as it did, but there's got to be, within the offense, the ability to get third and two. If Simmons doesn't produce and all the D-line recruits from last year aren't what we thought, they will be terrible. Labs and secondary are already going to be a problem. I don't think that if by labs you mean linebackers, I don't think linebacker is going to be a problem, frankly, with Dottery and then what they've done in the portal. I kind of like what they've got in that position group returning. I am concerned like you about secondary for sure. But, I mean, they've got Harris and Perkins returning. Kalo Stone is a nice depth piece. He'll be back. I think Harris and Perkins can be all SEC guys easily. They really like Jan Brown. They really like Cam Franklin. They really like Eccles. They've got two edges out of the portal. Two of the top 10 edges in the portal went to Ole Miss, by the way. So there's questions for sure. I think the defensive line can be good, not what it was this past season. But I'm concerned about secondary and offensive line is where I'm mostly concerned. Do you think Ole Miss loses but gives Auburn a test primarily on defense? Just don't see any answer for Broome. Atmosphere will be wild, though. Yeah. Ole Miss needs to make it like how South Carolina and Tennessee played Auburn. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. This is the $5 million a year question. Why does it feel like we are never in the right position to rebound, you ask? That's something that Chris Beard has got to figure out. I think it's, you know, some of it is how they defend, their defensive strategy. Some of it is also they have to play a lot of small ball lineups. They get out physical at times because of that. I agree with this. We talked about this on the radio show today. Yesterday's result against a good Texas team was probably very important to the psyche of the team. Sure, you want to win every game by 30, but those close wins build confidence. Yes, especially after they lost close games. They put themselves back in that position and executed and won this time. That's got to feel really, really good. That they know now that, you know, when it gets tight, we don't get tight anymore. You know what I mean? Speaking, of course, from their perspective. And anyone in the SEC is good. Carolina is the worst team in the league at 99 in the net, a quad two opponent on the road. And man, they've played everybody tough on the road, including Auburn. So if I could change one thing about Kiffin, what would it be? That's a great question. That is a great question. One thing about Kiffin, what would it be? There's a few. I would try to get him, and I know this is his thing, but there at times appears to be a lack of seriousness. I would get him to tighten up a little bit. I know this isn't why they lose football games or win football games, but I would, the online persona, that kind of the Twitter, those kind of things, to just kind of create a more serious operation. Get rid of the basketball goal. And I know that fun is what they promote and fun is why they get players, but the basketball goal should be gone. Stuff like that. I would tighten it up a little bit. Somebody says take the points. Another Twitter, develop offensive linemen. Those are all very valid for sure. So anyway, you guys are the absolute best. I appreciate you. Glad that you're here. And we will be... It depends. If they get smoked on Saturday, we probably will just wait until Sunday to go live. But if they pull off a win, we'll go live on Saturday after the game. So we'll see you then. Thank you, guys. Sorry, I struggled through this podcast tonight. I am all talked out today, apparently. But we'll be back ready to go this weekend. Y'all enjoy yourselves. If you're going to the game, raise hell, and I'll talk to you afterwards.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.